Let us pray. Gracious and living God, may we become true disciples of your holy love through hearing your words and acting with a wholeheartedness that knows no boundaries. Amen. Please be seated. To quote again, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a familiar saying of Jesus, although I think we usually remember it in another form that Jesus stated earlier in his ministry. We heard it in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You know, when Jesus stated that, that was not an original saying. He was actually quoting scripture of his time that comes straight out of the book of Deuteronomy. So the Jews in his audience would know that very well. Well, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is recounting a discussion from the final moments of the Last Supper. Now, didn't we just celebrate Easter and the resurrection? And suddenly in today's reading, we're back at the Last Supper. And it's because our readings that follow Easter not only tell us, as it did in that reading from the book of Acts, the development of the group of disciples after Jesus' death and resurrection, but it also revisits some of Jesus' key teachings. Last week we heard the reading of the Good Shepherd, that Jesus, like a good shepherd, never leaves us alone. And today we hear the key teaching of his ministry. So this teaching at this time, think about it, it's at the Last Supper. It's not just another of Jesus saying, it's his final command to us. This time and place represented both the end of his physical ministry and the initiation of his commissioning of the disciples. It marks the birthplace of what would be called the Way, as it was known before it became Christianity. Just as Genesis tells us that at the beginning of time, God created the universe as an act of love, Jesus tells his disciples that their lives are to be wholly grounded in that love. That shift from the earlier quote that I just mentioned in Matthew to this last command is subtle, but it's important. He shifted the paradigm to loving one another as one loves oneself, to loving one another as Jesus had loved them throughout his ministry. He expanded the range of Christian love from home to neighbor to the world. Think about it. Throughout his ministry, Jesus shared his love with the fringes of society, women, Gentiles, outcasts, the downtrodden, as well as with everyone else. He knew that it was easy to love those who are like us, but it's much harder to love someone who we may not understand or even like. But that's the essential message of Christianity, to love without boundaries. I read a remarkable story recently, and it was about a kind of love that takes courage. Ginger Sprouse was a Texas housewife, and each morning she'd go through her normal routine, doing the laundry, getting ready for work, freshening up, and she would drive to work. And each day on her drive to work, she'd see a man sitting on a corner. No matter what the weather, he was always there. Well, it intrigued her, and so one day she stopped and began to talk to him. She found out that his name was Victor. Victor had been sitting on that corner every day for 3 years. And the story he told was this. First of all, you need to understand, Victor was about 32. and it was obvious Victor was suffering from some kind of mental illness. And Victor told her that 3 years ago, his mother had dropped him off at that corner, never to return. So he waited on that corner day after day, sure that she would return. Well, Ginger felt, this is a place that God is calling me. And she began to visit with Victor each day. She eventually formed enough of a relationship with him that she invited him to go to work for her. She had a cooking school, and he came and he worked there each day. She did his laundry, she fed him his meals. And then she did something rather remarkable. She posted his story on Facebook to tell his story to the world. And she said she had two priorities. She wanted to get Victor the kind of mental health treatment that he needed. And she wanted him to have a place that he could live so he would no longer be homeless. Well, as she said in her posting, if you want to meet someone who's eternally optimistic, positive, and humble, go visit Victor. He will outbless you every time. Well, time went on. Over 60,000 people read that post, and they sent her some money, and she started taking Victor to get the treatment that he needed. And Victor says this, she came around and she kind of saved me. She helped me. It's like grace. Well, the end of the story is Victor was eventually reunited with his mother and with an uncle. And again, he said, it was wonderful. I got to embrace her again because I really missed her. We belong together. In December 2018, Victor landed a new job on his own, and he now lives in his own place. And he says he now tries to live his life to be appreciative for everything that comes his way. Well, Ginger's love took courage. It took one woman to set Jesus' love in action and save a life. I don't think it's that difficult, extraordinary an action that all of us couldn't do that. But we have to listen for the call of God and see the need and have the courage to respond. Here's another story from a much earlier time and place. We're told by the historian Jerome that the evangelist John preached in Ephesus well into his 90s. And at that age, John was so feeble that he had to be carried in and out of the church at Ephesus on a stretcher. Then, when he could no longer preach a normal sermon, he would lean up on one elbow, and the only thing he would say was, little children, love one another. At the end of the service, he'd be carried back at the church for weeks on end. Little children, love one another. Well, getting a little weary of the repetition, the congregation finally asked, Master, why do you always say this? Because, John replied, it's the Lord's command, and if only this is done, it is enough. The connection between claiming to love God and demonstrating that we love our neighbor was so embedded in the early Christian tradition that we find this teaching repeated almost verbatim in countless places. Paul in three of his epistles, James, and most memorably by John. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. A quote from the first letter of John. Bringing this to more contemporary time, like our story, Dorothy Day once said, we cannot love God unless we love one another. And to love one another, we must know each other. We must know him in the breaking of bread, and we must know each other in the breaking of bread. That's what we do here each Sunday. You know, Ginger did not know Victor, but she embraced their common humanity. And I don't know if Ginger was Christian or not, but she amply demonstrated that she understood in her heart and lived his commands through her actions. The washing of feet, the sharing of bread and wine at the Last Supper preceded Jesus giving this last instruction to his disciples. And I think it's fair to say that Jesus was followed by many, not simply because of his words, but because of what he practiced each and every day, right up until his last night with his disciples. He was accepted and followed by them because he treated them and their needs, as small as they might have seemed, he treated them as holy. So when we leave here today, let us go out and break holy bread with each other, treating each other, no matter what our differences, as a holy people united through God's holy love. Amen.